Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Heritage falls away. Everybody's Irish on St. Paddy's Day, but politics stays stuck in place, according to Jonathan Zimmerman, who teaches history and education at New York University. He joins me once again on this episode of That's History to Explain. Hey, John.
Good to be here as always.
John, first, take us back to the origins of the homage to St. Patrick.
Well, I think what's really important about the homage here in the United States is it's always been a divided one. So we think that the first parade for St. Patrick's Day was held in 1775 by Irish regulars.
Older than the country.
Yes, Irish soldiers in the British Army. But the very next year, it was an Irish American who led the forces into Boston to evacuate the British, which is why in Boston, St. Paddy's Day is also called Evacuation Day. So what you have are two different groups of Irish people, both celebrating St. Patrick's Day, but also committed to killing each other.
Was that celebration at all similar to the way it's practice now?
It was a much more modulated thing, obviously, and it wasn't as commercial as it is now. But obviously, it was a celebration of Irishness. But the point is that the Irish themselves have never agreed about what that means.
In the ensuing centuries, has there been more of an accord on what it means?
Well, I think actually there's been both unity and difference, and that's what these rituals do. These rituals always unite us. We're Irish today. Isn't that a great thing? But they also bring out our differences. So even the question of whether you should celebrate has been a highly contested one for Irish Americans because of all the violence and oppression that happened in Ireland. So, for example, in the 1860s, during the so-called Fenian uprisings in Ireland, which were hugely violent and devastating for Ireland, there are Irish Americans who are saying, you know, we shouldn't be having this St. Paddy's Day parade where we drink and dine and all that. We should be sending money to help our freedom-fighting brothers and sisters in Ireland. So they're not even united on the question of whether we should have a parade to exhibit our unity.
Nonetheless, a parade did take place.
Oh, absolutely. And Irish Americans, and then eventually, obviously, other Americans join in. And the Irish Americans are very proud of that because one of the things they're trying to do in this parade is not simply celebrate their Irishness, but also their Americanness. So when Ulysses Grant becomes the first American president to review a parade, this would be in Washington after the Civil War, there's a huge amount of reporting and celebration of that fact in the Irish press because it shows that we've arrived here not just as Irish people, but also as Americans.
Can we credit the Irish Americans with then inspiring other ethnic and heritage groups to have their own day of celebration?
Oh, without a doubt, you know, and, you know, eventually in a city like New York, I mean, you have 20 or 30 different parades. You have, you know, Polish parades and eventually Puerto Rican and Dominican parades, which continues, obviously, to this day. And I think it's fair to say that all those parades both celebrate a certain kind of heritage, but also celebrate the growth and success of that heritage within the American context. They're also American rituals. And they're rituals that would often not be familiar in the old country. So in some of the St. Patrick rituals here in New Orleans, they throw vegetables. This is a big deal, especially cabbage. And there are these great accounts of people from Ireland going to New Orleans and seeing this and saying, you know, I don't recognize that at all. I think the point is that doesn't make it any less Irish. It makes it Irish-American. And this, too, is a phenomenon you see across our ethnic history. So you get Hungarians coming to Pittsburgh and seeing a Hungarian dance, and they say, you know, I never saw that in Hungary.
As you mentioned, New York. Take us to New York 1972 when a young John Zimmerman was in attendance.
Yeah, the reason I was in attendance was that my father was a municipal employee and he marched. And I have a very distinct memory as an 11-year-old of sitting on a stand on Fifth Avenue and watching Dad walk by. What I don't remember was that some of the people in the parade were wearing armbands, black armbands. And the reason is a few months earlier in so-called Bloody Sunday, British soldiers had gunned down 13 Irish protesters in Ulster in Northern Ireland. And I think the armbands are important because they remind us again that this event has always been a political event and a contested one. The organizers of the event did not want what they called politics intruding into the event. They said this is just a celebration of St. Patrick's Day and, quote, of Irish heritage, as you said before. But there is no unitary Irish heritage. And the people wearing the armbands were celebrating their own version of that. It wasn't one that the parade organizers wanted, but they wanted it.
And fast forward to more recent times, politics and causes have certainly come to the fore during this day as well.
Indeed, especially, you know, the question of gay rights and same-sex marriage, et cetera. So in Boston last year, the mayor boycotted the parade because they wouldn't allow gay-identified groups in, and now they've allowed one, a veterans group, and he says he's not sure whether he's going to march again. In New York, Mayor Bill de Blasio boycotted last year also for the same reasons. Now there's one gay-identified group, interestingly, from NBC University, which televises the event. They're marching, but de Blasio has said that's not enough, and he's probably going to boycott again. The Guinness Corporation, however, is back in. They boycotted last time because of the gay issue. Now the presence, again, of this single gay group from NBC Universal, they say they're going to sponsor again.
Jonathan O'Zimmerman, thanks for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
Thanks. It was fun.
Jonathan Zimmerman teaches history and education at New York University. You can hear more of our conversation at newsworks.org.